Fania.
So every so often, I talk to Brandon, and even if we don't have time to get together to record an episode, if something big happens in the world of wrestling, we try to at least get something out there, just to get our opinions out there, our thoughts out there. So I asked Brandon if he wanted to send me his thoughts on the news about Daniel Bryan, that, of course, everybody in the wrestling world knows about since last night. Well, actually, since yesterday. So yesterday, Daniel Bryan announced on Twitter that he had to retire for health reasons and that he would talk about it more on Raw last night. And I thought they were going to kick off the show with Daniel Bryan, actually. But in retrospect, I think they did the right thing. They let him close the show and gave him, really, almost as much time as he needed. And they even went live on the network afterwards to just kind of allow to see him, you know, going around, shaking hands, hugging people, smiling. So, you know, it's a sad day for wrestling, obviously, because they're losing a huge fan favorite. I've said it many times before, you know, I started getting back into wrestling, I almost say full-time, but really full-time on a weekly basis. Back in 2011, after hearing the CM Punk, you know, pipe bomb. But he's not the only reason that I stuck around. I stuck around because I enjoyed it. He was the main reason I came back. But he, you know, he wasn't the only reason. And really, Daniel Bryan, he became the main reason. I shouldn't say the main reason I watched it, because I watched it even when he wasn't there, and I still do. But he became the main focus of my enjoyment. I think he became my favorite part of the show. Let's put it that way. And I didn't know anything about Daniel Bryan. I think it was some WrestleMania. The WrestleMania where he lost in 18 seconds. My cousin Joe was pissed. And I was laughing because I didn't know who this guy was. And I know that Joe liked him. And I know that he, you know, his first WrestleMania match, he didn't even really have a match. But I grew to learn more about him. I grew to watch more, with, you know, from where he was a heel, a face, a heel, Team Hell No, anger management, yes, yes, no, no, all that stuff. And then at some point it just became him as the underdog. And he wasn't just the underdog in character. It felt like he was really the underdog, in the industry. Or as far as in the company, as far as the fans getting behind him, the fans wanting him, but the corporate side not seeing him as someone they can get behind. Now, I'd have to guess that a lot of that is storyline, really, because they did get behind him. Did they ride the wave of the fans, or did they plan this and nurture this and turn this into something where the fans just fell in love with it? Probably more of the former, and then later they saw what they had and they went with it. But in any event, I'm happy they did. And yet you see that, you know, he had a couple bad injuries where he won the championship, he had to give it up. He won the Intercontinental Championship again, he had to give it up because of injury, and it sucks that that has to happen. And then you wonder, you know, is this the reason that WWE was hesitant getting behind him in the first place? But, you know, the everyman aspect, the not big, not overly strong, you know, not a matinee idol looks like myself. He's just a guy who loved to wrestle, who knew how to wrestle and just wrestled hard. And constantly He was innovative, and he was constantly moving and constantly going, and he just wasn't boring. He was exciting, and he was, you know, someone that everybody could get behind. The kids, the know-it-alls, the smarks, I guess you could say, the bitter fans that I include myself in. Everybody got behind him. Everybody loved him. So the fact that his time had to get cut short, you know, twice, two championship runs had to get cut short. It just sucks. You know, and for the longest time, we're hearing reports that all these doctors cleared him, but WWE was holding him back. And everyone's thinking, are they holding him back so that they could just get out from under the contract? Are they holding him back because they really don't want him out there? Or are they holding him back as part of a major storyline? And as we saw last night, it wasn't because of a major storyline. It was very real. And it's very unfortunate. But the guy is, what, in his 30s? You know, you gotta look at the rest of your life. He has a long life ahead of him. Whatever he does, he has a long life ahead of him. And I could see him, you know, coming back for, you know, in some aspect, I could see him do that. I could see him come back in some aspect, maybe a GM, maybe a manager, maybe a commentator, maybe a judge like he was before on Tough Enough. I don't think we've seen the last of Daniel Bryan in the world of WWE. Heck, I don't even know if we've ever seen the last of him in a ring. But for the time being and for a while, we aren't going to see him. And that's unfortunate for the wrestling fan. But it's selfish of us to want any other, you know, outcome than this guy taking care of himself. So, I teared up a little last night, I'm not going to lie. And I just want to say thank you to Daniel Bryan for making, giving us a lot of enjoyable matches. One of the greatest WrestleMania moments ever. And just for making people excited about wrestling. Thank you. Good luck. And going forward, and I hope we see you again in some shape or form. This is Mike for WrestleFania. You can find me on Twitter at WrestleWatcher. Find the podcast at WrestleFaniaPod, and everything leads back to fansnotexperts.com. Thanks for listening, and I think we're going to hear from my very, very handsome cousin Brandon now. If I could just figure out how to turn off this recorder. Oh, there's the button.
Hello, everybody. This is Brandon, a.k.a. at WrestleBrand on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in to this special mini-episode of the WrestleFania podcast. Yesterday afternoon, my cousin Mike, a.k.a. at WrestleWatcher, sent me an email asking me to record something about Daniel Bryan after he announced on Twitter that he was retiring. The two of us agreed to wait on recording anything till after Raw. I think we were both holding out hope that this was some sort of storyline, some sort of swerve, and that it simply was not true. But as we know now, as I record this the day after on Tuesday, that it is very much true. Daniel Bryan is officially retired as a professional wrestler. I was never given the opportunity to watch him on the independent scene, to watch him in Ring of Honor. In fact, when he broke into the WWE, there were very few independent wrestlers that I could name, if any, except for Bryan Danielson. I knew that name. I knew he had traveled around the world. I knew he had had great success. And I knew through word of mouth, through publications like Pro Wrestling Illustrated, through the internet, that he was one of the finest wrestlers in the world, at least on in-ring skills. So I was very excited when I tuned into the first season of NXT. I'm talking about before they were the developmental territory, back when they were more of a reality show competition, and there was a winner at the end of the season who got the WWE contract. That was my first introduction to him. Since then, I've been able to go back and watch some of his old Ring of Honor matches, like against CM Punk, and they are fantastic. YouTube it. Check out some of his old school matches. You will not be disappointed. But seeing him in that first season of NXT was my first personal experience with him. There was no doubt that they were giving him a hard time because he simply did not fit the typical mold of a WWE superstar, never mind a WWE champion. He was small. WWE traditionally does not like small men. The Miz, who was his mentor, ripped into him. Michael Cole, who was the lead announcer, ripped into him. And Chris Jericho ripped into him, leading to his, what I believe was his first match, the first match I remember seeing him in, where he pulled off a huge upset against Chris Jericho. And I knew from that moment on, he was a tremendous in-ring talent. I was hesitant if he could develop the necessary personality to make it in the WWE. Then he shows up on Raw as part of the Nexus storyline, when they showed up and destroyed John Cena, destroyed the entire Raw set, destroyed everybody in their path. And it was one of the most amazing moments in the history of Raw. And Daniel Bryan got to be a part of that. And then he was fired. Had that controversial moment where he put a chokehold on, I think it was the cameraman. And people complained. And then being a publicly traded company, they had to take action. And they released him from his contract. I never thought we would see him again. Thankfully we did. He came back. And slowly but surely, he got some championships, such as the United States Championship. And he started developing more and more of a personality. The first time I remember him getting a huge reaction was at WrestleMania 27, when the World Heavyweight Championship match opened up the show, and it was Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. And I remember being so infuriated that Sheamus not only won, but won in mere seconds. It was embarrassing for Daniel Bryan. I think it was embarrassing for the World Heavyweight Championship. And it turned out to be embarrassing for the WWE as a company, because there was such a huge fan backlash. And I remember throughout the night there were random Daniel Bryan chants. And that was the first time I had heard him get such a reaction. I said, if this catches on, this could mean big things for him. Then he got stuck in a tag team with Demon Kane. And I remember when this happened, I did not have high hopes for it. Both men made the most of it and made it truly fantastic television. Team Hell No was great. They were hilarious, and it was perhaps the first time where Daniel Bryan really started having a personality on camera, and he started the whole no thing, which of course led to the whole yes thing, and eventually the yes movement was born. As a Daniel Bryan fan, you were dealt with disappointment after disappointment, but at WrestleMania 30, when he beat Triple H, earning the spot in the triple threat match against Randy Orton and Batista, and had that WrestleMania moment when he became WWE World Heavyweight Champion, you could forget about all the disappointments. We never got to see how great of a champion he could have been because he was injured. He comes back in time for WrestleMania the next year at 31. And he wins the Intercontinental Championship and brings back the prestige and recognition that title once had. And I think the WWE has done a very nice job of maintaining that prestige and integrity for the most part over the last year. But of course, he was injured again, and now he'll never wrestle again. I'm very interested to see where he goes with his career, with his life. I definitely think we will see him on WWE television again. It's a matter of what kind of capacity. I think with his skill set, with his experience, he has a lot to still offer the company. He's obviously still a valuable brand. He can still make money for the company in the form of merchandise and public appearances and whatever they decide to do with him. And perhaps that does not happen, and he actually retires and disappears off WWE television forever. And maybe we see him with another professional wrestling company down the road, and maybe we do not. I certainly hope we see him again. He will get an amazing reaction every time. He has proven against all odds that he is one of the all-time greats. I would put him up there as far as in-ring skill goes with the best. I'm talking Bret Hart. I'm talking Shawn Michaels. I put him up there in popularity among the all-time most popular. And I'm talking Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, John Cena, CM Punk. He's up there with the most popular, the biggest pops. So, on Raw last night, he gave a tremendous speech. It was celebratory, it was funny, it was sad, and it was honest. And kudos to the WWE for giving him the time that he needed and deserved. And I'm just going to leave it with this. Thank you, Daniel Bryan. Thank you for entertaining us. And you said on Raw last night that you felt nothing but gratitude. I, as a fan, felt nothing but gratitude having watched your matches and your promos. Thank you for entertaining us.